from online again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we read, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. The faith that you started with, the faith that you have today, the faith that you continue your Christian way of life, is a faith that should be moved and hold so that you won't have these factors coming in and trying to draw away from Christ. So he pleads for that and make sure that people are staying on straight and narrow. Verse 19, he says, and not holding fast to the head from whom the entire body being tied together and held together by joints and ligaments. We go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If you were to look at an analogy, you were working for a firm, a company, or whatever, your allegiance is to that individual who is paying you to do the work that he prescribed to you. Your loyalty is with him. As Christians, our loyalty is to Christ. He is our he's the head of the church, and with him, he supplies all of us, part of five, items that we should follow in our life. We looked at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. And he is what we should emulate in our lives so that we may be better servants of his. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, in verse 16, for whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for building up of itself in love. We are all different. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. But yet we all add something to each other. We encourage each other. We build each other up. We also remind each other in those who are in a sinful way. It's up to each individual to use his talent, whether you're a proclaimer, a preacher, whether you're a song leader, whether you're a deacon, whether you're an elder, whether you're just a member of the church of the body. We all have different talents. And it's up to you and I to use those talents in a way to strengthen each other up in our Christian walk of life. He goes on to say, growth, for the growth which is from God. The growth that you and I receive is from God. But we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to do diligence to the best of our ability. We may not have, like I said, we have different abilities. We're in different levels of our Christian way of life and our Christian walk of life. But do the best you can to your ability. We should grow in a way, in the truth, that it is by God's grace and mercy that we grow. We grow in the Word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's something you and I should be seeking. That's something that the saints at Colossae should be seeking. But yet they were drawn away by false teachers, by people coming in and adding things to salvation, something we also should be on guard. Not every area that we grow in is love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Christ died for you and I. He loves us. God loves us so much that He offered up His Son as the ultimate sacrifice that all mankind has. That's a huge sacrifice. Are you willing to do that for someone? Are you willing to do that for a member of your family, a member of the church? Jesus did. He didn't have what He did because that was God's will. And finally, when you look at growth, we have to put this in action. In the fourth chapter, verses 21 to 24 of Ephesians, we see, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on a new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. When we are in the truth, we receive that from God's word. Make sure you always focus on that in your life, no matter what happens, no matter what sort of trials and temptations that try to pull you away. And the things that Colossians saints were having that problem with false teachers. Now he goes on to say further in chapter 2, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not take, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance to the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion, self-abasement, and serve treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So he finishes up this section by saying, we died in Christ. A good commentary on this, which we'll get into in chapter 3, is Romans 6 chapter, where we were buried into the body of Christ via baptism. In the 6th chapter, I'll just read verse 2. 2 and 3, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Elementary principles of the world, that's Satan's domain. He's using all he can to bring us, to pull us away from God. In Galatians chapter 4, in verses 3 to 5, so also we, while we were children, were held together in bondage under the elementary things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God's given this to you and I. When we submit ourselves to His word, when we hear what it is by have a faith in what God has said, we repent of our sins, we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, He died for us, for you and I, and we are baptized into His body via baptism. But as we go and continue on that journey, we should have a faith that starts from our baptism, a faith that continues to our Christian way of life, a faith that we should stand up for
no matter what cost. Goes on to say, and why, as you were living in the world, we were all part of the world. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 14, but may it never be that I would both accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Why are we still living in the world? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time no longer for the lust of man, but for the will of God. How are you living? How are the saints in First Century Church living? Were they fearful that people were going to infiltrate their way of life, their Christian way of life? Sure, they had a problem. We also have that problem today. There are false teachers in the world who are trying to pull us away from God. In verse 21, he said, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, but food will not condemn us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block for the weak. Make sure the liberty that we have in our lives may not be the same for others, other Christians. And those liberties may cause someone to stumble. Paul went into a dialogue in the Roman letter, chapter 14, where if we were to serve vegetarians, invite them over to our house for a meal instead of meat, what does that do? Is that an encouragement to that individual, or is that a stone back to those individuals? I personally prefer me. I hunt a lot. I enjoy that. But yet, the bottom line is, why put a stone block in front of a brother who's weak, who has a problem with that? Don't be that stone block. Take that stone block away from that individual. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Don't allow these worldly things to end your life and cause others to sin by what your actions do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, in verses 3 to 5, many look for good manners and advocate abstaining from food that God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God are created by God is good. Nothing needs to be rejected. It is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God in prayer. We as Christians should be focused on giving thanks. Giving thanks to God for everything. Even very air we breathe in is a gift from God. We don't fabricate this. We don't make this up. It comes from God. There are a lot of people in the world, educated people who have 20 different letters after their name. They believe that they know more than what God has given us. But yet, when you go to God's Word, you go to His instruction, it's all that we really need. And we as Christians The saints in the First Century Church, as Christians, should be walking for God. We should be walking for God, standing up for Jesus at all costs. In Titus chapter 1, verse 15, see, the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. So liberty are an avenue that we should really be cognizant of. Some people like going to the movies. I personally don't. I'd rather wait until it comes on TV to watch whatever. But bottom line is, don't impose your liberties on someone else, because it may be someone about to them. In verse 22 and 23, verse 22 we see, in accordance to the commandments of each of men, we go to the 14th chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 17, which I will not read. Paul goes into a dissertation of how liberties affect people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, again, Paul instructs to say that Corinth to really be cognizant of those liberties. And they have the appearance of wisdom. Self-made religions. When people infiltrate churches, when in the first century church, they were trying to impose their beliefs on Christians who were already was taught by self-appearance of wisdom, humility, and humbleness of mind. They may be expressed in a wolf in sheep's clothing. We have to be on guard as saints in the first century church. Hatred in the body. They imposed different things we should be concerned about. When we eat, don't eat meat, don't do this, don't do that. It's all good. God created everything. And finally, there's no value against fleshly indulgence. So why should you allow worldly things in the world to pull you away from Christ? So Paul had a concern, and that concern was that false teachers are pulling people away from their first love, and that is Jesus. And when you look at the next chapter, he continues with this thought, where he says, and Ron and I actually read the first seven verses of chapter 3, and Sherry from 8 to 17.
Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ also is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil
mine have evil desires.
Okay, evil desire is the word for me. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things say the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them.
And now ye must also put off the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Jew nor Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly, and dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father.
Thank you very much for those greetings. We see that Paul is tying chapter 3 to chapter 2, where he starts and says, therefore, which is the conclusion of those heresies that were inflicted upon the saints at Colossae. He says, therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25, we read, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. So Jesus is going to defeat all his enemies. What side of the equation do you want to be on? His enemies, where you stand in the world, or with Christ Jesus, standing firm in his word. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Christ redeemed you and I. He redeemed us from those sins which separated us from God. And Paul said in Romans 11, chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. A spiritual separation from God. But the free gift, God's grace, is eternal life through Christ Jesus. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. When you look at the Old Testament and the children of Israel who year after year after year offer sacrifices for their sins, did those sacrifices forgive those sins? Not at all. All they did was push them out year after year. Push them out until the death of Christ on the cross, that his blood was shed not only for those of the New Testament, era, but also those under the Old Testament economy who were striving to be faithful to work, living under the old law to the best of their ability. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. And how do you do that? How do you put God first? Well, one way is to listen to what he has to say. To understand his will, read the Bible. Not only read the Bible, there are a lot of scholars in the world who know the Bible inside out. I was in a class one time, a literary class, where they used the Bible as a literary text. They didn't care about the content. They just was looking at what it flowed, what it said. When his Christians should be more. Not only understanding what God's word is, but putting it into action in our lives so that others can see that we are Christians. In Philippians chapter 3, in
and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you and I are. We are seeking Christ. We want to be with God. We want to honor and glorify Him with all those other faithful Christians before that went ahead of us, and all the faithful Christians here on this earth who will eventually be with those Christians, and all those Christians in the future that want to worship God. For you have died, and your life is hidden in with Christ in God. We again look at Romans chapter 6 and look at that we were buried with Christ through our baptism. We put off the old self and then new self. So hid with Christ. And that new self we should be building upon. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not by what we do. It's not by what we merit. It's by God's grace we are saved. Not by what we think we are trying to do, but yet we have a responsibility to grow, to be faithful at all times. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Christ is our life. John chapter 1 and verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. In chapter 11, verse 25 of the same book, Jesus said, "For I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is what you and I should be seeking out in our lives. I think I just lost my place here. So we are going to be revealed to Him. We are going to be with Jesus if we're faithful. If we live a faithful life to the best of our ability. A lot of times we will fall short of that goal. We will sin. But yet we have a means of correcting that sin. And that is going to God, going to our Heavenly Father in prayer and asking for forgiveness. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, we read starting at verse 20. I'll back up. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of the glory by the exaltation of the power that He has, even to the subject all things, subject all things to Himself. Jesus Christ is who we should be seeking. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we will be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. That's our goal, to be with Christ. When you look at this particular section, as was read, we see that all members of everybody are dead to sin, immorality, fury, passion, desires, and greed. We go to the Galatians 11, chapter 5, we see the deeds of the flesh. Starting with verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, passions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and these like these, of which I warned you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when you look at those sinful things on the earth, when we look at what John has said in 1 John about what sin is, in 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 15, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Sin is Satan's domain, and he wants to use whatever he can to draw Christians away from their first love, draw Christians away from honoring, worshiping, and loving God. And when you allow these things in your life, this is the ultimate. But he said, you are buried with him in baptism, and we put on a new self. These things are going to, those simple things are going to receive the wrath of God. Because they are going, the wrath is going to come on the sons who are disobedient. People who continue to be in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 2. The Lord was very angry with the fathers, talking about children of Israel, those people who sin constantly. God is very patient, and he wanted them to repent from those sins. In the Romans letter, chapter 1, in verse 18, we'll get into this study in a couple of weeks. Jerry will teach this. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress truth and unrighteousness. God's going to be there and judge. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You don't want to see what the wrath of God is. I know when you look at Jesus' life, and he was entered into the temple, where he seen that people using the house of God as a means of trade, as a means of bartering. And what did Jesus do? He got angry with them. Throw them out. Just imagine what the wrath of God is going to be against those who are sinful, those who continue with their old self. He goes on to say further, we walked in there at one time. We were all sinners until we repented and were baptized into the body. But now you also put aside all anger, wrath, malice, slander, a piece of speech from your mouth. You put that aside. Don't lie to each other. And lay aside the old self with the evil practice. That old self was us. We were part of the world. I think we were God. And we put on the new self. When we come out of the watery spirit of baptism. We are a new creature in God. And we should adorn ourselves with godly things. We should tailor our life in a walk that is the right relationship with God. And how do you do it? By studying God's Word. By putting the things that we learn from God into our lives. By making it an outward expression of our faith. In John chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that you may know they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How will our people in the world going to know you as a Christian? How are you going to express the faith that you have to show others? By your actions. By your standing firm in your faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses our knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The love of Christ. How do you know that? Well, look at what he did for you and I. He died on the cross. He died a death, a lonely death, so that his blood will be shed for all mankind. Now, he has responsibilities that we should follow. He has rules that we should follow. It's up to us to continue with that. In verse 11, a renewal of which is this. No distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all in all. There's no, we're all equal in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male or female, for you are all in Christ Jesus. We're all children of God. We all are adopted sons of God. And we are going to receive the promise that he gave Abraham, a faithful servant of David. There's no monopoly on those promises. But yet, you as Christians should be taking that out. We are chosen by God, holy and beloved, and we should put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and faith. Again, when you look at those bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against you. The fruit of the Spirit. They should be indelled upon our minds and hearts. They should be a seal that we have. Show that we are Christians. Goes on to say further in verse 14, put these things on with love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The three virtues, faith, hope, and love. But most of all, put on love. A love that we should have not only for our brothers and sisters, not only for our family members, but the love we share half the world. Not that they are living in the world, but that they are, their souls are very precious and we don't want to see them lost. And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We as Christians should have Christ on our minds at all times. For the thankfulness, gratitude,